Becoming, Disc 4.
Norman. His heart stopped and restarted. Kabil, I don't know what to... Buenos dias. Buenos. How have you been? Fine. Just fine. Could he be in on it? No, he'd never. I saw your girls a couple of weeks ago. They're growing fast. They do that. There was an awkward silence, and he held out a box. Gotta see a man about a gun. Oh, sure. He held the door open. Rambin stepped through and then stopped. What are you doing here? Slumming? I come by every now and then, looking for old guitars and such. Nothing today. He nodded. I see your wife on the cube all the time. She looks good. Oh, yeah. She's fine. The one time they had met had been strained, in the kitchen, she with wide eyes and he with a mouthful. Take care, he whispered with tenderness, and turned toward the gun rack and counter. Norman finally shook off his paralysis and walked down the stairs. If Kabil had come in a couple of minutes earlier, he would have interrupted an illegal transaction. The pawnbroker wouldn't say anything. He was guiltier than Norman, selling a pistol without waiting period or ID check. It had to be a coincidence. Rabin wouldn't be in on a thing that would cost him his job and family and put him in prison for 10 or 20 years. As if a cop would last even 1 year in prison. Norman stood at his bicycle and considered waiting for Kabil to come back out. Tell him about the threat and enlist his aid. He couldn't do anything legally without throwing his life away. But maybe he would do something illegal. Maybe later. First he'd talk to the lawyer and his gun-toting pal. Maybe they'd have a shootout there in front of the lunch crowd and simplify things for everyone. He clipped the bag onto his handlebars. It was awkwardly heavy, with a snub-nosed revolver and a box of bullets. He had to find someplace private to load it. He went a couple of blocks uptown and locked his bike outside a pool hall bar where he'd never been. Just as soon not be recognized. He unclipped the bag and walked into a darkness redolent of marijuana and spilled beer. There were no other customers yet. He walked past the rows of shabby billiard tables to the small bar at the end. There were 3 crude VR games along one wall, at least 20 years old, and a century-old pinball machine, dusty and dark, glass cracked. A sign on the wall said, "No fucking profanity. No use palabras verdes carajo." Under a shiny halo cube of the president, all brilliant smile, a helmet of perfect hair guarding both of her brain cells. The bartender was out of sight, rattling bottles around in a back room. He called out, "Momentito!" And it actually was just a moment. He was a big black man with startling blue eyes, obviously Cuban, bright metal teeth. "What do you have?" "Draft Molly. Use your bathroom?" "Sure. Ain't cleaned it yet." Norman was prepared for an odoriferous hell, but it wasn't bad in that respect. The urinal was a metal trough that evidently dispensed a powerful antiseptic. There was blood on the floor, though, and a smeared handprint of dried blood on the stall door. He opened the door and didn't find a body, so the previous night's activity had probably been conflict resolution rather than murder. He locked the stall and sat down and opened the bag. He'd bought an old-fashioned revolver for reliability. It had been so long since he'd fired a gun. More than 30 years. In 2020, he'd killed a couple of dozen men for the crime, he always said, of wearing the other side's uniform. Something he'd had in common with Kabil, though their wars were a generation apart, and he was technically the enemy. In Norman's mind, there were no enemies in war, just victims. Victims of historical process. Heavy-blued steel. He fiddled with a mechanism on the side and the cylinder swung away. He slid 6 fat cartridges into their homes and snapped it shut. He could just put the muzzle in his mouth and again simplify everything. Sure. Then Rory would have to identify the rest of his body, and Willie Joe and his pals would just shift their focus to her. Besides, simplifying was against his nature.